We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Monday, May the 4th, 2015, and we are privileged to be in Brevard County, Florida. Thank the Lord for that. And we want to thank you for tuning in this. Bob Arthurs coming to you on behalf of Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, coming to you from the studios at WMIE 91.5 FM. Pray that you're having a great week thus far and that you anticipate having a great week. Don't forget that this coming Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. There are events taking place all over the county, various times during the day. Here in Central Brevard County, we have our National Day of Prayer event. It will be taking place at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island, 7 p.m. Thursday night. Thank you to Pastor Titus Green, who he and his church do a marvelous job hosting this event year after year. And like I've mentioned on last week's programs, we're hoping to, as Merritt Assembly have gotten the listeners to the Refresh Radio broadcast, we are looking forward to showing up this Thursday night and saying to Pastor Green and the wonderful folks there, hey, we want to be a part of your ministry there at the Alternative Pregnancy Center, and want to help you in the purchase of an ultrasound that's going to result in ladies making the decision to let their babies live. And so if you would like to partner with us in that endeavor, in that blessing to the Alternative Pregnancy Center, you can contact us at Merit Assembly of God, and we will act accordingly upon that. Again, that's just coming up here in a few days, so we're really excited about what God's going to do in that effort. Want to say thank you to Bill Andreich and Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. We are just weeks away from our, you know, full-fledged right into the hot season for the next several months. You want to make sure that your air conditioner is up and running, and you don't come home at night and expecting to cool down and find yourself in a hot box. So if you have any issues with your air conditioning unit, call Bill, 759-3284, here in the central part of the county. He primarily here in Cocoa, Cape Canaveral, Cocoa Beach, Merritt Island, in that area. He may go a little bit further than those county or those cities. But if you have any questions, give him a call, 759-3284, and he will do his best to get you up and running. So we're going to be back in Isaiah chapter 58 this morning. And in verse number 3, we'll pick up the reading from where we did the other day. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? And so here in these passages of scripture, God was saying to the prophet Isaiah that there were people who were going through the outward motions, but it wasn't manifesting in the way that they were treating their other believers, their neighbors, their co-workers. They were going through all of the rituals, but when it came time to make money, when it came time, they were still about their pleasure and the oppression that they were bringing upon other people. Listen, Christians are supposed to be markedly different in the way that we treat people. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If we have been a recipient of his grace, we need to be a distributor of his grace because we want those around us to also be recipients of God's grace. And so I encourage you. And so God tells the prophet Isaiah, he says, here's the description of the way that you are going about it. And he says, is this the definition of a fast? Would you call this an acceptable day to the Lord? That's an interesting question. I want to ask you, as you look upon your yesterday, as you look upon your last week, have you ever stopped to look at it and say, I wonder if the way that I conducted myself today was acceptable in God's sight? Because we too, you know, I say this all of the time. When it comes to my theological positions, there are certain absolutes that I have. I absolutely believe that the Word of God is true. I absolutely believe the Ten Commandments. I absolutely believe the things that Jesus has said. But when it comes to things that might involve future events, I have a very strong opinion in those things. But when I look at the Pharisees, I look at them and I see that they were so entrenched in their mindset that they missed the Messiah dwelling in their midst. They were blinded to the reality of God's presence in Jesus Christ because of their own erroneous conceptions. And so I always like to put myself and say, okay, I this is what I believe. I see it in the Word. I'm very, very persuaded by it. It is a conviction for me, but, I don't want to become so entrenched in just that one aspect that I could miss what God is doing right now in my midst. They were so convinced in biblical times that Jesus was the Messiah, was going to come as a king, that they missed him when he came as a servant. There are some people who are so persuaded that he came as a baby that they're going to miss him the next time because he's coming as a king. So I believe that Jesus is coming. I believe that he is coming again very soon. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe that God wants to spare his people, that his wrath is not poured out upon those people who are walking in obedience, but that that the tribulation is a period of time reserved for those who have rejected the heartbeat of God. That's what I believe. I also am persuaded that I need to be of such a strong reflection of faith. I need to be so strong and so consistent in my obedience, so persuaded, so much living like Jesus. I'm struggling for words here all of a sudden here this morning, but that if I do end up going through persecution, then I'm not going to wilt in the face of opposition. That's the thing that I'm talking about. So I ask you not to just be so convinced in your own mind that what you are going through and what you are doing is acceptable. But ask yourself from this perspective that is in Isaiah 58:5, is this an acceptable day to the Lord? When the way that you conducted yourself at church yesterday, was that an acceptable day to the Lord? The way that you worshiped, was that an acceptable, were you sitting there as an observer, or were you there as a participant worshiping the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because the Bible doesn't tell us attend worship. It says that we are to worship the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so it's just an interesting thing because what is evident in Isaiah 58 here is that the society of that time had deemed their behavior to be in alignment with the Word of God, but God was telling them, what you are doing is missing the mark by a wide range, you're missing it entirely. It what you are doing is not acceptable. That's what God was saying there. And so we need to make sure that by consulting with God, pray, ask him, God, is this pleasing and acceptable in your sight? And if it's not, would you please make the corrections in my life, because I want to be pleasing and acceptable to you. Let's look at verse number 6. It says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? And this is God speaking, and this doesn't involve sackcloth. It doesn't involve ashes. It doesn't call for doing without food or anything like that. This is what God was calling the people of Isaiah's time. This was the fast that he was calling them to. Again, I said on one program last week, it was about rearranging our priorities to where they fit into God's alignment. Okay? It's not just about doing without food. It is about rearranging our priorities and making God the highest priority that we have in our life. So here we go. Verse number 6. The reason that I'm sharing this is because these are prerequisites to a blessing that is going to come, that is going to result in benefits that fit in line with our teaching here on God leading us not into temptation. In fact, how does he lead us? And so let's look at verse number 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. He shall cry, or you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. So let's stop there just a moment. Let's look at these things. The first thing that God says is, this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. To loose the bonds of wickedness. Now, I cannot loose the bonds of wickedness in your life. The person that I can make sure that wickedness is not bound to is me. I don't have to have wickedness in my heart. I don't have to set wickedness before my eyes. I don't have to fill my ears with wickedness. I don't have to fill my heart with wickedness, which would result in my mouth being filled with wickedness. If I don't fill my home with wickedness, then that wickedness is not going to touch my wife or my kids or my neighbors. And so we need to detach ourselves from wickedness. February the 1st is a day that I won't forget anytime soon, because it was on that Sunday morning that I awoke to find that my retina had detached. And what I found was that if that had not been reattached, then the vision in that eye would have gone away. I would have gone blind in that eye. And I want you to know that God wants wickedness detached. I pray that on this Monday that you will experience a wickedness detachment, a sin detachment, that there will be a bond that is broken, that it'll be separated from. You see, I don't want to cling to anything in my life, whether it's visual, I don't want to, whether it's substance, whether it's visual, whatever it might be. I don't want anything that is sin attached to my heart. I don't want it attached to any part of me. I want to be as far away from it as possible. If my goal is to experience as much of heaven on earth as I can get, in heaven there is not going to be any wickedness, and so I should be striving for a quality of life that is free from wickedness. Unfortunately, I believe that the world is very effective at propagating one generation's wickedness onto the next generation. And so there ends up being the same sin occurring generation after generation after generation after generation. And so the Bible talks that it'll extend down to three or four generations. But here's what I would like to say. Every person listening to the sound of my voice, God has given you the authority that if you will become a child of God, if you are a child of God, that you do not have to be a slave to that generational liability, that generational sin any longer. Instead, you can break that chain. You can break that stronghold, that bondage of sin, and you can begin a whole new legacy, one which God says can extend to 1,000 generations, and that is be the first generation of righteousness. Be the first generation of righteousness. Live without that bondage in your life. I look forward to, you know, things that that people in my family have experienced, you know, that my kids will not experience that. That's been a very high goal, a high motive in our lives for my wife and I. I want you to know that God has empowered you, and the anointing that breaks the yoke is an anointing that you feast on God's word. You allow him to make you stronger. He helps you to grow to the point that the yoke that once held you in check and drug you where you didn't want to go, that it becomes too small for you. I pray that you grow, that you mature, that you become strong in the things of the Lord. Men, he wants you to be men of valor. Women, he wants you to be women of virtue and women of valor. And those things that used to bind you, they can no longer hold you. They can no longer hold you. And, you know, I've still got a bowling ball someplace. I'm not sure where it is, but I've had that bowling ball for a long time, probably, you know, 35 years. And, you know, the finger holes don't fit the way that they used to. You know, when I was a teenager, I weighed all of about 135 pounds. I weigh slightly more than that now. But you know, the finger, you know, actually it's the span of the fingers, they were a lot closer back then. My hand has actually, gotten a little bit larger since I was, 17 years old. And so I encourage you to grow. You see, society has a way of labeling things in our current, context as being for adults only. And the implication is, well, you know, if you reach 18 or if you reach 21, then you will be able to handle this behavior. I want you to know you're not going to be able to handle sin on your own. It takes a savior. It takes a savior who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I encourage you that if this last weekend was not a great weekend for you in the area of righteousness and holiness, ask the Lord to forgive you on this Monday and say, God, loose me from the bonds of wickedness. Do a work in my heart so that I am not attracted or drawn to those things again. Let's move on. To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. Okay? Christians are not supposed to be people who oppress people. We are supposed to be people who bless people. And as a pastor, I'm not here to put burdens upon people. I'm here to help people carry their burdens. Come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Those are things that the Word of God says. He is a burden remover. He is our burden bearer. He is the one who bore our sickness and our infirmity. Listen, the load that he took to the cross was more than just the weight of the piece of wood. The burden he bore to the cross was my sin, my wickedness, and my shame. And you and I, we are not supposed to be recipients of his forgiveness and then go out and be mistreating people. As a pastor, I remember what it was like to be a staff pastor. I remember what it was like to work for other people. And in every one of the pastors that I worked for, I tried to learn from them. Sometimes I learned positive things. Sometimes I learned from negative things. But I tell you what I do. I try and treat everybody who comes alongside me and helps shoulder the load at Merit Assembly of God to grow a church that will change this community for the glory of God. Every one of those people that helped me in that process, I try my very best to treat them the way that I wanted to be treated when I was in their shoes. I've not forgotten what it was like. I still remember. I'm not there to make their job harder. You know, we recently made a purchase for our children's ministry. It wasn't a huge purchase, but it was a substantial purchase. And the reason that the purchase was made was because Joshua Booth, who is a gift from God to this community, he was telling me, I'm spending nearly 8 hours a week just trying to do this one function in children's ministry. And he went from 8 hours a week down to just a few minutes a week requiring him to get the technology ready for children's church every Sunday morning. You know what? That's an investment that pays dividends, because that's going to give him more time with his kids, more time with his wife, more time in the Word, more time in prayer, more time to do the things that he needs to do. That helps people. You know, when people come to me and they say, you know, we'd really like this, this would be really nice. The thing that I ask is, okay, is this going to reach souls? But when people come to me and they tell me, you know, Pastor, I need this because it is going to make the ministry so much better. It's going to make it easier. We're going to reach more people. We're going to be able to tell, you know what? All of a sudden, just by saying yes to something, I have made the burden, the load that they're carrying easier to carry. That is a great privilege. And we're blessed to be able to do that. Now, sometimes we have to say, you know, we would love to do that. We will do that just as soon as we can do that. That's, you know, I'm not saying that we get to say yes and take care of everything tomorrow. That's that would be misrepresenting the facts. There are some things that we are working on right now to make make things of higher quality, make things easier for people to work with. But it does require a little bit of time. You and I, we can make sure that we are not going around constantly reminding. I'm going to be talking about to letting the oppressed go free here for just a moment. And that is this. So many times we carry around negative experiences that happened to us, you know, a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. And what we do is we keep people that we love under the oppression of unforgiveness. One of the greatest gifts that you could give your family today would be the gift of forgiveness. One of the greatest things that you could give anybody at church or that you work is the gift of forgiveness, and say, you know what? We are going to take that load off. We're not going to try and live under that guilt. It's part of the past. We've placed it under the blood. We've asked Jesus to forgive. We've asked him to equip us to not make those mistakes again. And so let's not live under the oppression of the past, because there's nothing that we can do about the past other than place it under the blood and ask Jesus to forgive us. And let's not miss out on today's opportunities. Too many times we miss out on current opportunities because of yesterday's oppression. Too many times, I'll say that again, too many times we miss out on today's opportunities because we're still living under yesterday's oppression. Let's be people who practice forgiveness. and letting the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. A yoke was meant for beasts of burden. A yoke was not meant for people. The only yoke that people were meant for was to be yoked with Jesus Christ, where he leads us, guides us, teaches us how to be productive for the kingdom of God. And Jesus carries the bulk of the load at that point in time. That's the only yoke. You were not meant for the yoke of alcoholism. You were not meant for the yoke of drug addiction. You were not meant for the yoke of pornography or sexual sin. You were meant to be yoked with Jesus Christ, to be yoked with him as a joint heir of the promises of God. That's what I'm looking forward to. But you and I, we can break the yokes that keep people enslaved to their sin nature. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Okay, here's what I want to say about this one verse, and then we're going to be out of time for today. We cannot hide ourselves from the needs that are around. That's what I took out of that meeting, you know, at the Alternative Pregnancy Center 25th anniversary. They have a need. I could go back and say, you know, God, they're a much larger church than we are. They got more people. They probably got more money and all of that. But that's not what God's called us to do. He has not called us to hide from needs, but instead, whenever we see a need, ask yourself this: is there anything that I can do? Is there anything that we can do to help meet this need? I guarantee you that if you and I adopt the lifestyle of being a need meter, whenever the Holy Spirit quickens us, we will suddenly find ourselves in miracle working positions, because God is the God who meets needs. He wants to meet people's spiritual needs, physical needs. He wants to meet their financial needs. God is a need meter. As you look around today, is there anybody that you know that they've got something going on in their life and God could use you to meet that need? Because that's the type of fast that God's looking for. He's looking for us to say, okay, God, I'm going to prioritize. I want to be your ambassador, and there's somebody in my life and they've got a need. I could do something to meet that need. You know what? You could just buy somebody their lunch today. And you don't know. Maybe they didn't even have money for lunch today. I encourage you, pray, seek the face of God, ask him to show you someone in need, and then say, God, help me meet that need for your glory. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless.